All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, sponsored by Brewers Pizza, tastily sponsored by Brewers Pizza, and affiliated with Big Cat Country at bigcatcountry.com. This is Corey.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Derek.
What's up, guys? It's JK3.
We were just talking before we got started about how our brackets for the NCAA tournament.
We weren't talking how they were going, you know, we were talking how absolutely crappy they are, especially mine. Okay, it just, I don't know what to do, man. I'm just going to stop picking stuff, you know, sports. I can't do it. It's bad. It's just really bad.
I mean, mine's looking pretty good. I predicted UMBC over the number one seed.
I saw it. No. He screenshotted it to me.
Stop. And then look.
Yeah,
look,
mine was done. Mine was done like night one.
Yeah. That was pretty crazy. I mean, I remember talking to you before the game and you were just saying, I think they'll go up by 20 at one point. And I was like, what? And it just happened. So it's crazy stuff.
You know what, man? I can't do it anymore. I just can't do it anymore with college basketball. It just gives me, you know, heart trouble.
Yeah, I didn't even watch this year. Obviously UNF didn't make the NCAA tournament. What's below the NIT? Because I'm sure that's what they're in this time. Nothing. Is there something below that?
They're at home.
the YMCA. Yeah. The end of season tournament where everybody makes it regardless of record.
Yeah. You know, participation trophy.
Yeah.
Seeing them down at the park on the weekend if I walk down there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's man, that the cool thing about the tournament is it usually starts on like a weekday, and I usually try to front load my entire work week to finish up so I can literally just sit on my laptop at work all day and just watch like 12 hours of basketball. And like, that's good for the first 2 days. And then like the weekend comes, I'm like, oh man, I don't care about this anymore.
Yeah. Is it, because I haven't really watched it at all this year, is it on like True TV and all those weird channels again?
Yep. Yeah. Ted Turner, man. Ted Turner.
He's still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive, man. He's still kicking, still making all that money. Yeah. He'd put NFL games back on TNT if he could, like they used to in the mid-90s.
NFL was on TNT? I didn't know that.
Yeah, like in the mid-90s. He had a TV contract with them one of those nights. It wasn't like Monday Night Football. I think it was like Thursday night or Sunday Night Football or something like that.
Well, since we are actually a Jaguars podcast, of which there are many now in the World Wide Web, I didn't want to mention, but I jokingly did want to mention at the same time, Down by the Bank, around since 2000 and, what was it, 16 that we started, Derek?
Yeah, 2016. We're in our second off season, so we're coming up on our third season. It's been really good, and we got a lot of listeners worldwide, and we're just going to keep the train going, you know. So we're ready. We've got some good free agency pickups and getting ready for the draft. So let's do it.
That's right. Yeah, shout out to all of our original fans, everyone that kind of stays with us and that tweets us and lets you know that you're still engaged. We appreciate everyone. I really do appreciate everyone reaching out on Twitter, some of the folks that some of the new followers that we've gotten. And I appreciate you guys sticking with the original polo, not the USPA. Polo or the chat.
The manless horse.
Yeah, the original horse. I appreciate y'all sticking with the original polo, not going and getting the USPA or US Polo Association. Staying with the classic and original.
Yeah.
You talking about like the little polo logos versus the giant one, or is that not what you're saying?
No, that's all the same, but you know, you have US Polo Association that has like two guys playing polo on it. You got the regular polo with the one guy playing polo on it, and then you've got just much off brand Chaps.
Yeah.
You know, Ralph Lauren Sport. We can go for days.
So a couple things that I think we just kind of, you know, just wanted to throw out there before we get started on the Jags free agency stuff and just kind of giving our general comments on that. But so I know that the Jags, Derek, you were saying that one of the guys on NFL Network were talking about how we should make a trade for that guy that just got punched in the club the other day.
Yeah, he didn't get punched in the club. That's somebody trying to let everybody wants to look like, look like what's his face, OBJ, you know, Jokers these days. But no, Bucky Brooks, man, I think Bucky Brooks or may have been another one of the guys, but he made a tweet about trading for the first and the third for OBJ. No. Okay. No. No. The guy's an exceptional talent, but he's also an exceptional headache. You think Jalen is bad? Okay, when he gets going, he ain't seen nothing yet. And, you know, God forbid if Bortles throws the ball high, you know, he'll go on to, you know, tear up the entire water cooler area if we had him on our team. And plus, it doesn't make any sense to trade a first and a third for him. So thanks, but no thanks. We're doing just fine. You know, we got to improve by 4 minutes. If you look at it, the way this free agency class is set up, you know, yeah, we lost A-Rob. Yeah, we lost Colvin. We knew we were going to lose Colvin. Okay, doesn't make any sense to pay him all that money at nickel. All right, let him go get his. A-Rob, it's 50-50 with everybody. You know, even here on the podcast, JK3, you know, we kind of talked about it last episode. He's like, no. I'm like, yeah. So we'll see. But we're trying to improve by 4 minutes. And I think we did a decent job in doing that. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where free agency really cracks me up, man, because during the season, you see how a player plays like Colvin, and we'll get on to him a little bit later, but how Colvin plays, and you're just like, man, you know, we're going to either have to pay Colvin, or Colvin's going to have to go somewhere and get his money. And people are actually surprised when he actually goes to the Texans or anything, or another divisional opponent. Funny thing about fans is, as fans, we are fanatical about our team. So, of course, we would never put on a Houston Texans, you know, sweater or a t-shirt or anything else like that. But if he goes to a divisional opponent, it's clearly he's chasing money. That divisional opponents, rivalries, none of that matters if someone's handing you, you know, a check that you've never seen before, and living out a dream to secure your family and secure, you know, everything else like that. So, I mean, the free agency, it's really surprising to see some people like, oh man, I can't believe he went to the Texans. It's just, come on. You knew he was going to go. You knew that our secondary is probably the strongest secondary. I would have to say, or at least our corners are the strongest corners in the league. So for him to go somewhere and be a spotlight player and not just a role player is something that we expected him to do, especially after the year he made. He had a career year.
So you guys don't have any inclination when you see the pictures of him holding up a Texans jersey on Twitter to think, oh man, what a traitor, or anything like that? Not even just a little bit? You don't feel a little bit?
No, not at all, man. It's at the end of the day, he's like JK3 said, he's chasing a check. And when you're chasing a check, you really got to sit back and think about, if you were in his shoes, what would you do? I'm going to stay loyal to my team. I'm going to take, you know, an $8 or $9 million pay cut. Okay, and go try and win a Super Bowl ring. And then in a couple years, then I'll go chase my money. Doesn't work like that. It never has, and it never will. So people need to get over it. Just need to get over it.
Well, just kind of staying on that, since you brought it up. So it looks like the Texans also added a guy that I was kind of surprised. And JK3, you mentioned this beforehand. I was just kind of surprised on how little money and I guess years he had on that deal. But you said that Honey Badger went to the Texans as well.
Yeah, you know, Tyrann Mathieu has been one of my he's a really good player, and I really like him. I like his style that he plays. I like his personality. I like what he brings to a team. He's a really good player. You know, that's one of the things that really kind of raises an eye to me when players come into the division, other than team or players leaving the division. He's a really good safety. He's a ball hawk safety. He's smart too. And I think he brings a lot of aggressiveness, you know, to that Texans defense. If that defense can stay healthy, that's the key word. If that defense or if the team can stay healthy, Houston on paper, you know, just really improved really good. I mean, you got to look at some of their cornerbacks that they added, Colvin, you know, what they added also in the secondary with Mathieu. Their linebacking core is pretty good. They were banged up with some injuries. Their defensive line, you got J.J. Watt and, you know, Clowney. So Merciless also kind of comes back and forth on there, too. That was really eye-opening to see that. You know, not to lobby too much for the Texans, but that was really eye-opening to see him want to come to the AFC South. A lot of you know, marquee players and a lot of players that people universally know in the NFL, you know, really don't come to the AFC South that often. So that was pretty good.
And to stay on defense, we picked up DJ Hayden on our side, one guy that I guess used to be a former first-round draft pick, I guess, with Detroit. So what kind of role, and Derek, I'll start with you, what kind of role do you see him fitting with the defense? Is he replacing, I guess, the spot Colvin was in, or is he just more depth?
No, he's going to be the nickel. Unfortunately, he was, you know, got a little bit of a reputation for some pass interference penalties because of guarding the smaller, quicker receivers. And, you know, Colvin was known to be a good cover corner and able to keep up with those slot receivers. He does bring experience. And you never know, a fresh start, you know, might, you know, eliminate those things and better coaching, because in Detroit, everybody knows it's all about Matt Stafford and everybody else takes a back seat. Whereas here, it's more balanced. Yeah, the defense is clearly better than the offense, but he'll get an opportunity to, I think, make plays with better players around him and better coaching. So.
Yeah, he's coming from a defense also where you got another good corner, you know, Slay. So Slay is a pretty good corner. And with him coming in, he's definitely taking that spot with Colvin, definitely stepping in immediately as a nickel cornerback. And I think it's a very important, you know, probably the most important DB role in our secondary, because you know what Jalen and AJ are going to do. They're going to lock their person down. They're going to lock whoever's in there. That slot, if you play against a team that has a really good slot receiver, like a Cooper Kupp, you know, a, Danny Amendola, Thielen from the Vikings, you know, you get a slot in there. The slots are, you know, they're pretty good. That's one of your, you know, emerging receivers, and one of your emerging positions on the football team is a slot receiver. And having that versatility to cover somebody that can go inside or outside, stop and go, post corner, post, any kind of crazy route that a slot receiver would run, definitely big shoes for him to fill there. So I'll be excited to see where he does.
One guy that we did trade over from another division rival to us is Dante Moncrief at wide receiver. Obviously, to get into the wide receiver role just in general, we lost Allen Robinson to Chicago. Moncrief is a guy that, I mean, is he going to fit sort of the role that Allen Robinson had, or what's the details on him? He's more of like a quick, fast guy, right?
Man, with Moncrief on paper, you know, I think he's 6 foot, like 212, kind of very similar to Allen Robinson. He's not as consistent as Allen Robinson is. Allen Robinson, you can say literally when Blake threw up the ball to him, it was a 50-50 ball. It was either he was coming down with the ball or it was going to be incomplete. I think with Moncrief, you know, he's very similar. You know, he can go up and he can go up, but will he go up? I think a lot of his issue was consistency. Like, is he going to be able to play? Is he going to dress? Is he going to feel like practicing, playing, etc.?
Wow, that was his reputation, is just like work ethic.
I think so. I think a lot of it was consistency. Like, you know, watching some of the Indianapolis really hasn't had a quarterback the last 2 years. I mean, with Luck, but you can see some of the times when he's running the routes. I think that he's given up on a couple balls. You know, I also think that he's, when they've been out in garbage time, the effort hasn't really been there also.
Yeah, well, and Derek, from a purely financial standpoint, if we can get even the slightest amount of production comparable to Allen Robinson, which as of last year was nothing because he was injured all year, and really not a whole lot over the last two seasons, I guess, the financial difference is pretty substantial. Robinson, I looking here at my notes, what was it, $42 million overall, $6 million signing bonus. 25 guaranteed, and then of course Moncrief is substantially less than that, just in the 7 to 8, maybe $9 million range. So how do you look at that whole thing, Derek, with Robinson leaving and bringing on Moncrief and just the wide receiver position in general?
First of all, okay, if he really thinks that Mitch Trubisky, okay, let's say that again, Mitch Trubisky is going to be just this, you know, he's going to throw for 40 touchdowns and him and A-Rob are going to click, you know, no. Okay, it's not going to happen. All right. You know, the Bears, they got a little bit, we'll get into that in another episode, but, you know, they got somebody on their team that wants to get paid as in their running back, and he ain't the greatest of locker room people, so let's just say. So, that whole offense with Trubisky and A-Rob coming in, Jordan Howard's going to want the ball 30 times a game. We'll see how that goes. We really will. But as far as bringing Moncrief in, yeah, it's a decent pick, you know, pickup. It's another, you know, plug-in. It's another guy that can, you know, go out and make plays when playing well. As far as the financial, yeah, it makes sense because the Jaguars want to run the ball. It's our MO. It's what we do well. It's what we do best. We run the ball and we play defense. The games we win and when we win big aren't because Bortles throws for 400 yards. You know, I think the only time Bortles had big numbers in the passing game was the Seattle game, depleted secondary. We get that. Because, you know, they just, you know, Seattle just had no respect for him. You know, they didn't see it coming. So it makes financial sense. It makes sense for what the team is built around. And like I said at the beginning, we're talking about 4 minutes. We're trying to get 4 minutes better. You know, A-Rob, yes, would he, had he been there, would we be 4 minutes better? Sure, he would have. But we're now able to get multiple pieces, especially in the running game with the signing of the offensive line, lineman. And so it just makes more sense.
Yeah, I'm just now getting the 4 minutes better thing, by the way. Is that something you just, is that something, did you make that up, or is that something
they've been saying? Yeah, it's just on the fly. Okay. No, nobody's been saying anything. It's just on the fly. I promise you, I didn't, you know, rip that off or anything. You know, somebody, you know, might rip that off from us, but I no way. It's all about, we had Tom Brady on the ropes the whole game, and we slipped up for 4 minutes. It's like back in the day when you had Mike Tyson beat. And, you know, you're beating him, you're jabbing him. But if he gets that one uppercut or hook in, you're done. And that's what happened to us, you know. Hopefully Norwell will be able to improve the offensive line, which I think he will. And then, you know, if we clean up the right side, they were talking about Pouncey from the Dolphins is out there still. And, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. But obviously and clearly we want to run the ball. So.
One thing that I guess financially worked out because it wasn't too much of an investment, but I know JK3, you're in the same boat as me, that we both had recently acquired TJ Maxx Marshall's jerseys for Allen Robinson, which hypothetically we could probably get at like 90% discount now. So
I don't know. Yeah, for sure, getting framed, going up in the man cave. You know, I enjoyed watching AR while he was here. Definitely made some great plays, but I really want that $19.99 back.
Yeah, I think I still have the tags on mine because the one I got was just way too big. I wanted to get it, you know, for my daughter to maybe get it signed, you know, for her, of course, not me. Was the video of the guy burning the Allen Robinson jersey, was that legit or was that a joke thing? I never found that out.
I think did he burn it? I thought somebody I saw one on Twitter where a guy was like, he said that he hates to do this and he was holding a lighter to it, but he lit a candle instead of the jersey.
We don't need to burn jerseys. It's
That's the stupidest thing ever, man.
Yeah, the guy, okay, let's put it into perspective here really quick. How many games did he play in his time here with the team? You know, so he missed, you know, 15 and a half games last year plus the playoffs. He played the year before all 16 games. And then the year before, did he play all 16 games or only like 10 or 12 games?
No, he didn't even play that many.
Yeah, so the Jags, you know, they made a business decision. If you look at when Caldwell has made decisions with the help of Tom Coughlin now, everything's been, it's for the good of the team, but it's also a business decision. And the business is A-Rob can't stay healthy. That's a shame because he's an incredible talent, but it's a fact. You know, proof's in the numbers. So, you know, Corey, you like all the analytical stuff. And when A-Rob's on the field, he's exceptional. But he hasn't been on the field, but maybe 50, 60% of the time he was here. But I say this, to sum it all up, he's going to learn. Because if he thinks he's going to go up there to Chicago and they're going to magically have everything fixed with Mitch Trubisky, you know, I hope somebody, you know, I hope I'm not wrong because I don't think he's good at all. As a matter of fact, Bortles is definitely a better quarterback than him. That one idiot on NFL.com that said Bortles isn't even in the top 32 quarterbacks in the league. It's stupid, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah, he did. It was a candle, by the way. You were right. I just read that. I guess I shouldn't trust the screenshots. Speaking of quarterback, one thing I'll point out too, I don't know if you guys saw the AJ Boye interview on NFL Network that he did, but he was pretty defensive of Blake Bortles. And I like the whole the team-oriented mindset that's coming from everybody even after that loss. But backup quarterback Chad Henne's now gone to Kansas City. So what do you guys think the plan is there? Do you think we'll draft somebody, we'll pick up a veteran, or you know, what would you do?
I think it's going to be draft. I really hope that it is somebody in the draft, because that would just be, you know, somebody that we can kind of groom, someone we can kind of bring in and learn and young into the playbook. Chad Henne was just, I mean, he was a backup. He was a serviceable backup. He was there for what it was. But, I mean, you really got to start looking at your future. You really got to start looking at, is Blake going to be around for that elusive third quarterback contract? That kind of thing. So, and I don't think Henne's got the best job in the NFL. He's a career backup. I mean, that's awesome. He's going to be behind Mahomes in Kansas City. He's going to collect a couple million like he's been doing, and he's going to still, you know, get out of the league without having any significant brain injury. So that's the best job in the league.
Yeah, it's, oh, well, you know, we got to move on. Obviously, we know the Jags. Yeah, we re-signed Blake for 3 years, but are we fully committed to Blake in the long term? You know, 5, 6, 7 years that a lot of these QBs get? No, we're not. You know, if you look at deals like, what was it, Cousins, you know, yeah, he got, a lot more money, but his deal was 3 years. So that may have been like a cap and collective bargaining issue. And who knows? Maybe that's what the reason why that they only came to a 3 year agreement, too. Maybe it was more, but it doesn't seem like it. So the draft is a good place to start. They got a lot of, good quarterbacks out there. A lot of them will be gone by the time we pick 29th. Are we going to pick a QB 29th? Probably not. But, there's a lot of, everyone's, the Lamar Jackson thing is, he's a project. Put him in behind Blake. Let him learn the playbook, learn how to be a professional. Who knows? Who knows? But I think we are going to draft one. I really do.
Yeah, 2-year contract with Kansas City matches. I think I had written down 2 pass attempts in the last 2 seasons. So, but yeah, I guess he's they're looking at him just kind of in a similar way that we did, just in terms of a mentor type role. Most of money in free agency obviously went to the big signing that we got into the news for more than anything, which was Andrew Norwell, $66.5 million contract. So everybody saw the stat from PFF that he didn't allow 1 sack or quarterback pressure in 2017. So how do you guys look at this move? I mean, obviously it's a upgrade over Omame, who went to the Giants, but more than anything, it seems to be everybody's perspective that it's just more to show that we're committed to the run this year than the pass, especially with us letting Robinson go too.
So you bring Norvell in, obviously the highest rated offensive line. And so from a while ago, remember when Dallas, not this year or not this past year, but the year before last, where they had the best offensive line in football. It's when, Zeke was running rampant. Dak had all this time just to literally play 7-on-7. Exactly what we mentioned. And for all our day one listeners, we mentioned you take care of your offensive line, everything else falls into play. You bring in good offensive line, help you bring in some hogs, and then they literally do their job. They create run gaps for Fournette. They create walls for Blake Bortles. And it's awesome. And to complement the guard signing, the 2 tight ends they brought in also on the offensive line are going to help huge too. Because, I mean, you got Mercedes, who's arguably the best blocking tight end in the NFL. Niles Paul can be a serviceable blocking tight end also that can help with the run. And ASJ, even though it doesn't really have to do with the run, but that prevents teams from loading 8 and 9 in the box like they did towards the end of the season. Even though Fournette was our main bread and butter, having having the tight ends and the guard on there also is really going to help open up for a lot of play action for us.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of, big preacher of the offensive line play. I like the signing. I can't see nothing wrong with it. I think we're going to do some really special things next season with that O-line if they gel quickly and are able to stay healthy. If you look at a lot of the teams in the league that have good offensive lines, they're usually there at the end. for instance, like even New England, you know, they have an average offensive line, but their quarterback's great. But when they do, you know, do things well and run the football, their offensive line, they're able to mash. So it's almost like you choose to, you know, run the football when you want to, when the defense not allows you to, but when it's in the scheme to do it. And when you're able to mash and really get between the tackles and run the ball, it makes everything so much easier. And that's what they're trying to do for Bortles, is they're trying to make things easy for him. And any QB would love to play behind a, you know, O-line that's just killing block, you know, killing defensive linemen and picking up blitzes. You know, it's their dream, so.
Yeah, well, he seems to be a big culture fit, which I think is one of the things that Caldwell mentioned in his press conference. They considered him, one, to be, I guess, one of the top free agents, but also that he just was a guy that seemed to fit well in the locker room and had the character that they like to look for. So, and he even said it in the press conference, Norwell's press conference, that, you know, he was super supportive of Blake. I think he called him, you know, their franchise quarterback, which is great. But also that, you know, he obviously and the team has Super Bowl aspirations, which fits the team's win now philosophy as well. So, huge pickup, probably the one that garnered the most attention for sure. But one the other day that also kind of got some attention as well, and you guys will have to correct me if I'm not pronouncing his name right, but Austin, is it Safarian Jenkins?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. So young guy at 25 years old. I didn't realize he was that young. It just feels like he's been in the league for a while for some reason. I remember him doing really awesome on my fantasy team one year, a couple of years back when he was on Tampa Bay. So obviously he had some productive times in his career so far. But 2 years, $10 million, with him getting picked up, I mean, isn't he more of a pass-catching tight end? Is that kind of a shift in the way that we're playing with the tight end position?
He is a pass-catching tight end. My only thing is keep him away from the beach, man. Just keep him away from the beach. Sorry to all the business and beach bars out there. Just keep him away, because he's had some off-the-field issues. Hopefully he's cleaned all that up and he's ready to be a constant professional. But, man, he can be a special talent if he can, you know, stay focused on the task at hand.
Yeah, I think that's what really kind of led to it, because I think he is a recovering you know, he had some off-field problems, and he is recovering from that. And he had a really good video and a good write-up about him, you know, being more of a professional and, you know, getting that cleaned up. But, I mean, dude, last year, 50 catches, I mean, yeah, it was with the Jets. And who was throwing the ball in New York last year? For him to have 50 catches and, you know, and average almost like 8 yards a catch, I mean, that's huge for us. I don't think Mercedes has ever sniffed 50 catches in a season at all as he's been here. So that's going to be big. But the game of the tight end, or excuse me, with the game of football, the tight end now is, you know, one of your pass catching threats. That's somebody who you want to be able to use. It'd be really good to finally catch teams in those mismatches that we were caught in. You know, I understand and happy retirement, Paz, but when we would have like Paz covering a tight end that's just streaking down the field, hopefully we catch some other people in those mismatches with ASJ.
So is he kind of looked at I don't know, with them signing Norwell to bolster the run game and bringing in a guy like Moncrief and then Safarian Jenkins, are those two guys kind of considered the quasi-replacement for Allen Robinson's projected production, I guess? Like, they're not trying to replace him with, like, a guy of his caliber, but just try to, in some ways, replace his numbers? Does that make sense?
Yes and no. It's more like, you know, Austin, you know, Jenkins, you know, definitely can be a red zone threat. So you'll definitely see him in you know, inside the 20 trying to make plays. But it's more of a scheme fit for the Jags because of what they're trying to do. A lot of passes, especially seam passes down the middle of the field off play action. You know, if you got a big 6'6 target to throw to that can move and run, and he's matched up on, you know, let's use an example. Safarian Jenkins against Jonathan Cyprien. We play them twice a year. I will take that matchup all day long.
Yeah, I agree. And then also it makes it, like you mentioned earlier, Derek, it makes things easier for Blake, considering that he's most efficient during play action. And he's most efficient when the plays are coming across his face. So that's definitely something that's going to really help out. But again, having that threat, having that tight end threat that you can, you don't know what he's going to do or know where he's going to be or how, you know, what route or what, if it's going to be run or run block or anything else like that, that just opens up your playbook and makes things just so much easier instead of them scheming for Fournette or scheming for Corey Grant or Yeldon.
So I guess just overall with free agency, the way it's played out, are you guys, you know, optimistic? I know that we lost Colvin, who was one of the, you know, the big contributors from last season. But for the most part, as far as I can tell, it seems like it's been a net gain overall.
I mean, you can't forget the signing and bringing back of Don Carey the third. You can't forget that.
His name's just funny to me for some reason. It just doesn't sound like, you know, some like threatening NFL player name. Sounds like some guy who would sell like insurance or something.
Oh, geez. Wow. Man. That's brutal.
What?
That's brutal.
The Don Carey State Farm agent or something like that? I don't know.
But look at it this way. You know, think about the games we won last year because of special teams. At least two or three of them, right?
Think about the games we lost because of special teams also.
That's true, too.
For sure lost that Rams game because of special teams.
You're right. You're exactly right. So it's important. You know, who was it? I think it's McCray or whatever that the Jags didn't bring back. Yeah. And Carey took his spot. You know, veteran presence, leadership. When a veteran, especially if he's been with a team, when he comes to a team and he sees how close they were to getting to that championship game, to getting to that Super Bowl, you know, they're going to give it everything they got to do their part. And I think, you know, it's a decent pickup. You know, we gotta find somebody to play special teams and we gotta find somebody to do it well so it doesn't shoot us in the foot.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about the Marquise Lee signing? Interesting to hear your thoughts on that.
That's the only thing I kind of don't like about the free agency period because it's just
the financial commitment or just him getting re-signed in general.
Him getting re-signed in general. It just
really
he's never been a guy that just he. The last couple games, especially in the playoffs, he definitely came up big, and I would like to see that. You know, he's doesn't have the injury issues anymore. He's playing, you know, hurt, injured. He's still getting out there on the field, but just there were some plays last year that, you know, some drops, man. And I get, you know, anybody else, you throw us out there, yeah, we might drop the ball. You know, if you talk to some armchair guys who think they can go out and play receiver in the NFL, but when you're at that caliber. When you're at that level, you got to be able to catch the ball. And, you know, you're not going to get too many good targets from Blake. We know that. He throws, you know, all over the place. But when it hits you in the breadbasket, you got to be able to catch it. And sometimes he didn't. So I'm 50-50 on it. But, hey, we got a lot of number twos and number threes on our receiving depth chart. So hopefully somebody during camp can step up and take those number one and number two slots.
The thing that really scares me the most is that now Marquise Lee is the most veteran wide receiver group that we have. Coming from a guy that got a call at a crucial point in the game and did some kind of weird hip thrust, you know, because he got the call from the referee.
Wait, what is that? What are you talking about?
You don't remember that? Like, it was, I forget what game it was, but he got a pass interference call in the end zone. And he did like some weird like dance because he got the call.
Yeah, right. I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
So if he that's what is the number one. That's our most veteran receiver in the receiver room. So you have that, and then also there isn't a downfield presence that we have. I mean, everyone can say D.D. Westbrook is this. D.D. Keelan Cole is going to be that. Okay, we identified Keelan Cole as a training camp, you know, superstar. We didn't think he was going to be what he was last year. Like, we went and saw him at training camp that one night, and we're like, wow, this dude Cole is cool. We hope he makes a team. We went from hoping to making the team to now saying, oh, yeah, Keelan Cole is going to be our starting wide receiver. Like, come on.
Everything I read is that they, aside from that stupid play that you're talking about or the thing that he did after the play, was that they really liked his presence in the locker room. Everything I've read is that he was huge with D.D. Westbrook and Keelan Cole and all those guys, that he showed a lot of leadership and spent a lot of time with them. So I don't know, maybe that was a locker room pickup more than anything.
And it could have been. It could have been because, you know, Coughlin and Marrone and Caldwell, they're big on that. They're huge on that. So, you know, you get better together. And if he was doing that, if he was taking the younger guys under his wing and trying to, you know, show them the ropes and show them the way, since he had, you know, 3-4 years experience, then hats off to him. But, you know, we're talking about production. Those are things that, you know, as fans, even a lot of media, they can't see those things. And they won't see those things. Tom Coughlin won't allow it. So we'll see.
I mean, look, Derek, I mean, I made this up right now on the spot, but we just need 4 minutes is all we need. I mean, that's what we need this season. Hey. I just made that up. So TMC with a circle around it.
Hey, I'm just, you know, I'm speaking as a true fan. That's all.
Funny enough, I actually like that. They should definitely make that like their slogan for this year. I actually really like that. Jaguars marketing.
Will you be there when we are 4 minutes away?
Yeah.
Season tickets now.
Will you get us the next 4 minutes we need? Will you be a part of that?
Hey, I got nothing. You know, I think of this stuff on the fly, and that's what I think makes, you know, when we have these discussions and we record these episodes, you know, for the listeners out there, you know, one, we appreciate you guys listening to us, but two, it's original content. It's not, you know, it's not anything where we spend, you know, 2 weeks researching other, you know, podcasts or journalism. It's our own opinions, and that's what, you know, a true fan should be, even when we were losing. You know, now that we're, you know, we got 10 wins under our belt, like you said, we got, you know, some other podcasts and other publications out there. But hey, original content, man.
Plus, I mean, we're sponsored by a pizza company, and the other ones can't say that. So, I mean, that's
a pizza company that makes their own beer, and the beer is actually really good.
Yeah, I had some, you know, where was I when I had some Pinglehead Brewery? The Hurricanes. They have some on tap. And I got a flight a couple weeks ago, and I had some. It was pretty good. It was really good. So
it's good. Yep. Everybody go to Brewer's Pizza, Orange Park and Clay County's only brew pub, and they only need 4 minutes.
See, there you go again. So you're almost wanting me to tell the story about what the podcast name almost was until, you know, and I'm not taking credit like I'm just one person here because it's three of us. But the podcast name almost wasn't Down by the Bank. It was something else. And, you know, I remember when Corey, when you told me what you wanted to name it, I was like, nah, we got to think of something just a little bit more flashy. Don't know why, but just off the top of the head, man. Off the top of the head.
What was it? Only if he was released?
I think so.
That was one of them, yeah. That was like playing on that whole thing with podcasts, like, you know, funny, ironic names. But that would have that would have been lame by now. We would have had to have... Basically, that JK3, that was the Dave Caldwell quote about Tim Tebow at the time. You know, we won't pick him up even if he's released.
I recall, and I was highly upset about that, but carry on.
And then Derek was like, Corey, we got to drive sticker sales. We got to drive t-shirt sales, all right? We need something iconic. We need something that's a brand.
That's definitely not what I said. I literally sat in a chair, and I looked at it. I said, well, we're both bankers, and it's on the River Banks, the stadium, and it's named, you know, after a bank. So let's call it Down by the Bank. But yeah, anyway, I love what we do, you know, getting together and talking about this stuff. I'm excited about the free agency period. I'm excited about the draft, and I'm ready for next season to start and go through that murderer's row schedule we have. And once we kick butt again and shut everybody up again, you know, then, you know, hopefully we can get some respect. I don't know what they want us to do, the national media. You know, we got to win the Super Bowl to get respect. We know that, but it's like, you know, they still have other teams, you know, ahead of us, other divisions. The AFC South sucks. didn't AFC South teams win playoff games last season? So, didn't the Jags go, 5-0 against the AFC North, which is supposed to be the toughest division in the AFC? So,
they were only 4 minutes away from the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Man.
Hey, 4 minutes, man.
Four minutes.
you guys are going to beat me up over that, man.
I think we should change the podcast name to 4 minutes away, to be honest with you. I mean, that's probably a cool shirt. So.
No, we got to cut that because, you know, we're going to give somebody some of our original content. So,
yeah. And I just renewed my season tickets. So definitely excited about that.
I'm going to the, can anybody let me know when the actual date is, like that pick a seat date where you can go into the stadium and pick your actual seat? And
you know,
yeah, I just need to know when that is.
I asked him about that, the guy, cause I had a new rep this year, to ask him if I could go down for seat relocation in case we wanted to see if there was something else in our section. And he told me they didn't do that anymore. So I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if he just meant the relocation event or if they just don't do it in general, but, yeah, he said that there wasn't anything like that anymore. So I don't know. Maybe somebody can correct us wrong if I'm not talking about the same thing. But
that's what happens when you win 10 games. You know, they take.
We're not gonna let you in. We're not gonna court you anymore. It's like you want these seats or not, buddy.
Yeah. We're legit now. So yeah.
Yeah, they also told me.
You want him or not?
They told me, tell that JK3 guy he can't be bringing in his own food anymore either. He's got to pay.
That would be the worst thing ever, man, because I got kids and shit, and like that popcorn is so expensive. So I would much rather just be able to bring my own popcorn, graham crackers, Capri Suns in my little freezer bag. Please let me still bring that in. I do all my eating and drinking outside in the tailgate anyway. So,
no, don't let him lie to you. Don't let him lie to you, people. He's the only guy in the stands that still got on a starter jacket, and it's full of snacks, okay? He's got Capri Suns in the inside.
Every pocket.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about investing in some of those zip away cargo pants.
Oh,
that
some of that food though, like we're talking about like week one or week two, you know, and like 110 degree weather. I mean, I don't know what you're putting in those in your clothes, but
non perishables. bringing in a can of tuna,
milk pouches. A can of tuna. That's disgusting. Can you imagine just sitting there and somebody rips open a can of tuna and just starts eating it with their hands? I might actually do that.
Straight. So. And they have forks. I mean, I use forks, man. I'm not a barbarian.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for game day this year, you got to retire the Allen Robinson, but I can definitely bust out the Don Carey from my closet again. So that's exciting. All right, so we'll kind of wrap it there, and I guess the next thing we have coming up soon, hopefully we'll record before then, is the NFL draft. Are there any other deadlines prior to that I'm not thinking of?
No, it's the pro day circuit right now. So, you know, the draft is on the 26th of April, so all the schools will have their pro days. I think the Florida schools are next week, so a lot of the teams will be down here because, you know, Florida schools always produce NFL talent. They just started it up too, so it's going to take a while. So, the draft said Thursday the 26th. For once, we're not in the top five, so you have to actually watch the entire draft to see what we do.
That's crazy.
And that's it, man.
Oh, and RIP Paws, right?
RIP.
He's retired. Yeah. He didn't die. Yes.
Sorry. RIP. RIP.
Not RIP.
He's 33.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. whatever you say for retirement. Happy retirement. Hopefully he joins on as a coach or something.
Consultant.
Yeah.
What if he's still going to stick around to hang up hurricane shutters?
Yeah. All right, we will talk to you guys next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.